Good thing about the Word of God and that old time religion, as we just sung about, it's just as new as it was on the day of Pentecost. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like to share something with you from Isaiah 63, beginning of verse 1. Give me that old time religion. Praise God. You ever go through something in life and it ruins your appetite? Beware lest what you go through in this life ruins your appetite for God. Isaiah 63, beginning of verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And the answer is, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? The answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Isaiah 53 and verse 1 says, to whom, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Psalm 24, one more verse before you're seated. Psalm 24. I'm just going to read verse. You know what? I think I'll read the verse before it, because there's something about part of these verses I got to say to you today. So Psalm 24, starting in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. I've come with a message from the throne of grace, I believe, today, exalting him and not myself, to simply say to you today, he is still mighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is still mighty. What you're going through has not diminished his might and his strength in battle. He's still just as powerful. He's still just as fresh as he has ever been for you. I've come to tell you, he's still mighty. Would you love him? Would you call on his name before you're seated? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. When you're ready, you may be seated, but yeah, let's do a little bit more of that. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Let us exalt his name together. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Being in this service today, I have felt just as much from the time Sister Heather was reading scripture, from the songs that we started the service with, from the verses you have read. I appreciate the Lord for just having his way of letting you know, hey, and I just feel it in the air. And so the title that I'm here to say to you, I want it buzzing between your two ears, that he is still mighty. Hallelujah. He hasn't lost his ability to be mighty. We're reading something here in prophecy. We are reading something that has already happened, but we're able to look back on it now. But when Isaiah was writing this for the very first time, he was writing of things yet to come. He was writing of things that had not happened, but yet was writing as if they had, because that's the language God speaks. When he says, I will, he sees it already done, and there's nothing that stops him from doing it. I mean, we get stopped all the time. But God, nothing stops God. We can have a rainy day and what we say, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and then all of a sudden I am not. But when God says, I'm going to have a people called by my name, there's nothing that can stop the word of God from being fulfilled. Even when nobody else is getting involved, even when there's nobody else to help, God doesn't have any problem going alone. Praise God. We're reading here, and I'm just going to read a few things from these verses and go to some other verses that are here that I must read to you today. I feel for whoever this is for, whether it's all of us or just one of us, I just feel like driving something into someone's spirit here today about God who is still mighty. You might not feel he is mighty, but your feelings don't mean much when they're compared to what God is and who God is. You understand what I mean? I'm not saying that they don't mean anything. I'm just saying against the might of God. It doesn't diminish God any. Just because you might feel low, you might feel down, you might feel discouraged maybe, or you might feel disquieted, it doesn't change God because we become troubled, or because we become disappointed, or because we become afflicted, we become challenged, we become persecuted, we become, you understand, full of infirmity. The answer to the question in verse 1, because he's seeing something, and he's saying, who is this? And the answer is, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There are times when we see stuff about God that doesn't look like what we're seeing. It's God in motion. It's God fulfilling his word. It's God doing something pretty powerful. But the answer to this dyed garment, this glorious apparel, is I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Mighty to save. I'm reminded today that he's still mighty to save. No matter how chaotic the world is, Jesus is still mighty to save. Amen? No matter how far the left wing is, how far the right wing is in our nation, no matter how many fruit cups and a few sandwiches short of a picnic this world is simply becoming, Jesus is still mighty to save. That has not stopped him. Not one bit. Glory. And whatever China's doing to bench press and look tough will not stop me from going to the prayer room and seeing somebody a whole lot tougher. Praise the Lord. In other words, I'm not going to allow myself, I can't at the end of the day allow myself to be so affected by those things which are of the earth, earthy, because the earthy things don't diminish the heavenly things. Amen. He's not less God because the world's more sinful. But what that means for you is in your world, in what you're going through, he's saying no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel about it, I'm still mighty to save. Praise the Lord. So he's red in apparel. Why? What he's saying here in these verses about treading the winepress alone, he's talking about Calvary. Isn't it amazing how God speaks? He talks in a language we can understand. They understood what the winepress was back in the day when they jumped in that vat and they pressed the grapes with their feet, you know. They didn't have the press I use at the orchard. We pour all that crushed grapes into the cloths and we turn the machine on and it encloses it and all that juice is running out in the bottom, filling that big old pan, and we pump it into a tank. They didn't have that. They had to do it all manually. And when they came out of there, they were not clean. I mean, I help just dump a lot of times where whatever side of the process I'm on, I'm dirty. No matter what I try to do or not do, I'm covered in grape juice. I can imagine them in that wine press, pressing those grapes and just crushing in that juice, splattering. So he's talking in a language they can understand, but What he's saying is, I have trodden the wine press alone, not a wine press, but the people. I've taken the sin of the world upon me and stained all his raiment. And what I love about this is little nuggets of revelation about how God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. How that God was manifest in the flesh, and the flesh was his raiment. Amen. The Son of God was the raiment of the Father. The veil of the invisible God. Because God did not shed blood on Calvary as far as who he was. God is a spirit. But yet, the scripture says that God shed his blood. But his blood was blood of the Son of God. That which came out from him. His raiment that he gave himself. And that he took upon himself the form of a man. And took that man to Calvary. And stained all his raiment. Shed blood for you and me. So that when we would get low. When we would become weak. When we would get frustrated. When we would want to throw in the towel and quit. When we would say this church stuff is just a little bit too much. Amen. The Lord would say, hey, I'm still strong and mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you might give up, but I never gave up. Even when I was the only one involved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. See, God expresses vengeance different than we do. That's why it's best that vengeance belongs to God and not to us. Because when God takes vengeance, he saves people. When we do, we don't. They never want to come back to church again when we want to give them a piece of our mind. They don't need a piece of our mind. They need a piece of Calvary. Praise God, hallelujah. But that's the truth, and that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing God so furious, he went to Calvary. Praise God. So against and vexed with the sin of this world that he put a raiment on that he could stain. Hallelujah. He didn't come in the form of an angel. He didn't come born in the bed of palaces. He came totally happy with being born and placed in a manger and sitting there in the first few moments in this world with smelly animals and hay. Day of vengeance is in my heart and the year of my redeemed has come. God was so angry, he nailed that carcass to a tree. I'm glad for that today. And watch. He said, and I looked and there was none to help. There was nobody else to help. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, since I saw that there was nobody else, my own arm, my own power, my own authority, my own word. He said, I'm going to send my own word and it'll get the job done. I don't see anywhere in scripture where God saw that there was none to help, nobody showing up early for prayer, that he was going to suck his thumb and go sit on a cloud somewhere and say, you know, I'm just discouraged today. I'm the only one that can clean up this mess. I looked around, thought maybe there's a prophet that could help. Maybe another little David on the hillside singing to his sheep. There was none. He said, that's fine with me. I'm okay with that. None to help. None to help. You ever find yourself in that position somewhere in your life when you looked for help and there was nobody? Parents got kids and none of them are helping out. People on the job, no one's doing their job, none to help. Hey, how about a pastor in church and there's none to help? I'm not saying that that's the case here. Let me read to you some more verses before I conclude with some things here in just a few minutes. There's so much to say here. And so we're going to backtrack into the Psalms again because I want you to read something here. Bottom line of what I'm going to say to you today, I want you to leave here with, is God's telling you that he's still mighty. He's still mighty to save. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Psalm 62. We'll start with Psalm 62 and then we'll go to Psalm 121. There's all sorts of great scriptures to say, everything that can be said here today. But sometimes we just need to be reminded because sometimes we become weak. Sometimes we get beat up. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we just go through stuff. And sometimes our vision of the things of God, our walk with God, the vision of God himself sometimes becomes obscured by circumstances. And somehow, in our way of thinking, somehow he's not what he once was. People say it like this sometimes. You know, we used to jump and shout. You know, church, we used to be exciting. Now, if there's a used to in your brain, it's not on God's part, it's yours. He never asked you to shut up. He never asked you to stop clapping your hands. He never asked you to stop shouting. He never stopped asking you to run the aisles and speak with other tongues. Praise the Lord. So if you look back and say, I remember the good old days, God's saying, well, what's wrong with the good old days now? I haven't changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I haven't changed none. I'm still strong and mighty, and I'm still as awesome as the first day you found me. You may not be awesome, but he is. You may not feel awesome. You may look in the mirror and say, that's not awesome. I'm getting older. I'm wrinkling. Hair's jumping ship. My skin's wrinkling. I've got arthritis in places I didn't know I had. Isn't it amazing, though, I can still open this book and find I'm still mighty. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Let me repeat that to you one more time. Let me somehow say something that kind of sinks in deep. Jesus Christ the same. People are not the same. They can disappoint you. But he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 62. Verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. Just in case you didn't hear it the first time. That power belongs unto God. Wasn't it Jesus in Matthew 28 and 18 that said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. All power, he said, I am with you always. What's with you always? All power is with you always. Let me say that to you one more time. All power is with you always. Let me say it just a third time. Maybe you'll get it. All power is with you always. He didn't ask if you feel like it's with you always. That doesn't determine whether it's with you always. He's always with you no matter what you're going through. And just because you don't feel God today, don't mean God's not there today. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Psalm 121. This infamous psalm that we all read. I want to read a verse out of this to you today. I could read the whole thing, but there's that one little verse with that one little word. Hallelujah. Put my glasses on, I can see it. I'm going to read the whole thing. Why not? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Let me say that again. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Because in the hills is strength. In the hills is power. And whether wherever you're looking from has none, and you're thinking of quitting and giving up and sitting in a state of discouragement, whatever it is that you're going through, if you'll look up, you'll discover that he's always at his best. That there's always strength and that he is still mighty. Praise God. You don't see much when you're looking down. You're feeling down. You're disappointed. You're angry. But when you look up, see, watch. It's kind of like you hear a song being sung. He's still. He is still. You hang your head low, you can't hear the song because you're not looking in the direction of the song. But when you do, all of a sudden, he is still. Just automatic. He is still. If I can get enough courage to lift up mine eyes, I will see he is still mighty and mighty to save. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you've ever felt like you've tried to do something for God and it's not going your way, he understands. He knows exactly what you're going through. Don't you sit there in your little isolated kingdom and act like, I'm the only one. You're not the only one. He went to Calvary alone. Praise the Lord. And he was willing to go alone. He knew he was the only one who could go. That's why he told the disciples, you follow me now, but there's something I got to go do that you can't follow me right now, but afterwards you'll follow. I got to do this alone. He didn't have a mental breakdown. He didn't need a therapy couch. He didn't need one of those squishies. He didn't need to pop a pill because he was the only one. He didn't suck his thumb thinking, woo. But we do all the time. When things don't go our way, we're good at just sulking. We're good at feeling bad. We're good at being discouraged. We're good at being disquieted. In so much that our own soul finally speaks up and says, how long are you going to stay this way? Hope thou in God. Psalm 42, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Why? Because he's still mighty. That's why we can still hope in him. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Scripture calls him the strength of Israel. Amen. The strength of Israel. That's who he is. He's the strength of the people of God that will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. What's the saying? The Lord still is, and he's always going to be. The Lord is. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm glad about that today. How about you? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God is so good. He's still mighty. When you're worrying about church growth, he's still mighty. When you get disheartened about people that walk away, he's still mighty. Never saw Brother Rutledge give up and stop pastoring just because people decided they were going to jump ship and destroy their soul. I've seen it disappointed after he bestowed labor. Reached and by miracles was sent of God. And we, some of us, were along in some of those journeys to see him pluck people out of the fiery furnace and see them starting to strive and do good, only to decide that they were just going to descend from the mountaintop and just crash land. Yes, I've seen him disappointed. I've seen him grieve in his soul, but I never seen him stop being who he was. I never seen him stop trusting God. It was always a, he's still mighty. Yes. Pastoring can be a challenge sometimes, but I've always seen pastor start again and believe God, reach for a soul again. Look, there's a lot of things in life that can try to destroy you. Get you when you're down. Make you to forget that he is mighty. But it's the Lord that's so kind that reminds us that he's still mighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me just read something and bring it up to date here. Paul is speaking to the saints of God. Verse 1, we'll just begin here reading. I hope this is making sense to you today, that he's still mighty. The reason why we still have 66 books is to remind us he's still mighty. Because God knows people, and he knows that we're so attached to our present day in which we live in. We're so attached to all the things that we go through that we're just like the people of God. They soon forget. And how it's written in the King James English and Psalm 107. The people of God, they soon forgot. The parting of the Red Sea, and they murmured on the other side. They soon forgot. All these miracles, and then they soon forgot. They soon forgot. You would think they would remember he just fed them. That if they needed water, everything would be okay. But they soon forgot and complained. They soon forgot and complained. Oh, it sounds like Americans. That's right. You want to find America? Go read Psalm 107. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is what Paul is saying for himself in relation to what he just got done saying for 11 chapters. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, speaking of himself. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. All he's saying is I was caught up. That's that terminology. That's all he's saying there in that terminology. Something spiritual happened to me, and one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He didn't have a smoking problem, a woman problem, or a gambling problem. He simply had something he looked at in the mirror every day. There's no greater thorn in your life than your humanity, than your mortality that is subject to all the emotional things, physical things, things that we see, we hear, we taste, we touch. We're so influenced and affected by all of these things, and God knows that. But in spite of it, and this is the point here today, in spite of this, for this thing, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And this is what the Lord said. Listen to what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for you. For strength, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in weakness, we are reminded that the Lord is still strong and mighty. Praise the Lord. So that we don't feel like somehow that this gospel has fallen all the pieces, the power of God has fallen all the pieces. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that God might show up and show out. He's not saying I'm praying for all of this bad stuff to happen. He's saying, in it, I am giving God the glory because his strength is going to be the thing that shows up in the end, amen, and delivers me, amen, and gets the praise and the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's love him a little more here today. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's what Sister Heather read today. Give him the glory. Give him the strength that's due to his name. How do we do that? By, in our infirmities, letting his strength be made perfect. Letting his strength be what shows up and causes the answers to come. In other words, let me say it like this. You know, pastor used to tell us about some people that would come to New England, try to start a church, and all of us barbarians were too much for them, so they hightailed it and went back south. Said, it's too hard to have a church. They used to call it down south, they would call New England the preacher's graveyard. That's what pastor would tell. They were telling him, it's the preacher's graveyard, it'll kill you. But yet pastor was one of those that said, most gladly, therefore. It was his language. It was his nature. It's tough, I'm going. God had brought him through the school of hard knocks already, and as he would say, many years passing here in New England, New England's a pushover. No, it's only too tough for you if you stop walking with the one who is your strength. Amen? If you do not allow him to strengthen you to do the work of God, you'll give up, praise God, if you succumb to the weakness instead of manifesting his strength. New England is just as easy a place to have a church as the Middle East is. There's no place too hard for God. He saved barbarians in the days of Paul in Antioch, in Ephesus, in Galatia, Thessalonica, Laodicea. He can save people here. In crusty, cold, rude New England, God can make pillars because he is still mighty. I'm not trusting in my wisdom. I'm not trusting in programs. I'm trusting that God's mighty to save. Hallelujah. Amen? And that's the truth. So when you get discouraged, my point is when people get discouraged about doing the work of God, God reminds you, I'm still mighty. This can still happen. Great things can still happen. How are you looking at this? How are you viewing this? Through what lens? Infirmity? Persecutions? Struggle? The way people act sometimes? Well, they don't come early for prayer, or blah, 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 blah. We just rattle off all the stuff we're unhappy about. And God's just waiting for you to get done and give him some strength. Isaiah 40. I close with this. Thank you for listening. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. When I'm weak, it's not a time to quit. It's my time to look up to the hills. Praise God. And let Jesus put a little eye salve on my eyes and help me see things as he sees it. And give me the strength not to give up and quit. Isaiah 40, the last verse, you know it well. Last two verses. Last three. If I keep going back, I'll read the whole chapter. But it's really good. Listen to what it says. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Even the best of us, the healthy of us, the most vibrant of us are going to have a tough time. We're going to get weary, we're going to get faint. Have you ever gotten weary, not just physically in life, but have you ever gotten weary spiritually? Have you ever felt faint? Have you ever felt unprayerful? Look, even if you've backed off, even if you've slacked off, even if you find yourself weaker than you've ever been, the Lord's saying, I'm still mighty. Praise God. Don't you think that your level or depth of weakness is greater than my strength? Finally, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you faint today? Are you weary today? Has life put you in the ring and hit you a couple of times? Are you on the mat? You know, kind of like that Rocky movie, Rocky II. They're both bloodied up, beat up, and they're both competing to see who's going to be the one that's left standing. And Rocky's trying. You see him trying, and he falls. The drama is increasing as he grabs it again and falls. Grabs the rope again and he just falls, but then he just keeps on trying. Keeps on trying. That's how some of us feel sometimes. We just come to church and we're just trying to grab the first rope. But that's okay. There's no condemnation because you feel that way. It's only bad if you leave that way. It's only bad if you can't hear the voice of God say, I'm still mighty. I can get you up off that platform and leave you the one standing. So we're watching, you know, and the emoji, you've watched the whole film, and it's like, and everything inside saying, come on, get up. I mean, I want Apollo to get up too. You know, he's a great guy. But we want Rocky to win, right? That's what the whole film's about, the underdog. Got beat to a pulp by that champ. And he finally grabs it and he hangs on. Remember, he grabs it and this time he doesn't slip off. Why, there's some strength coming. Sometimes we come to church, we live for God, and we're just at our wits' end, we feel like. Isn't it amazing? I mean, 2 weeks ago we might have been like running the church, go, woo! No devil in hell that could stop me. 2 weeks later. Sister Erica couldn't sing enough to bail me out. Brother Rick couldn't play on those drums. And Sister Lydia can't sing. And Brother Dana can't sing one of those David on the Hilltop songs to get me to. I'm still back there going. Huh, huh, huh. But they that wait upon the Lord. See, look, Psalm 24 again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. That's something you've got to do. I can't do it for you. God can't do it for you. But when you lift up your head, you see he's still mighty. He's still got it. Praise God. He's still got power. He's still got might. And it makes no difference what the infirmity is, what the reproach is, the persecution, how all of a sudden I've gotten beat up and I'm 2 weeks later just trying to grab the first rope. If I wait upon God, all of a sudden, well, I'll grab that rope again and I'll hang on to it. And then I can pull myself and then I'll grab that next rope and pull it until finally I'm standing up, even if I'm staggering all around the stage. I'm up. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So what message that, you know, some of those preachers that came up needed to hear was, renew your strength. Don't bail ship. Don't jump out of New England. They need you here. If you're here for the right reasons, you got to be here for the right, you got to be here sent. If you're here just to develop a church so you can appear in some Sunday school magazine as the fastest growing, you're in the wrong territory. They'll kill you here. Praise God. But if you're here sent of God, there are going to be some times you just need to get your strength renewed. Amen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall what? Renew their strength. If you're weak, renew your strength. Don't stay weak. Renew your strength. Your strength is the strength of Israel. It's the strength of the Almighty God. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, even if you feel like you just got shot down by a BB gun. They shall mount up. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. He's still mighty. Next time you go to pray and you want to talk about all the stuff that's not going right in your life and just kind of blubber to God, that's okay. You can do that. He's not going to withhold you. But maybe you should just change your whole focus and just go in there even though it's compounding. I mean, listen to what Paul and Silas did in the jail in Acts 16. They had stripes on their backs. They were put in there unlawfully. And on top of that, he was a Roman. They really did what they did unlawfully. But there they were in the innermost part of the prison. And I don't read, God, why is this happening to us? Trying to get that rope. No, they looked at each other at midnight and said, you know, now's a good time to pray and sing as any. Let's do it. They chose strength in the midst of weakness, even though they didn't feel good. Hallelujah. I know they didn't feel good. They were probably in a lot of pain. But they said, let's sing and praise the Lord. And in the midst of weakness, in the midst of darkness, all the prisoners heard the children of God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Next time you go to your prayer room, why don't you just tell everything? He's still mighty. I guarantee it'll change your whole prayer time. You won't say half the stuff you would have if you just go in there. He's still mighty. Hallelujah. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills, but he's still mighty. I may be a little uncomfortable about what I'm going through, but he's still mighty. Jesus, you're still on the throne. I can still lift up my eyes, and you're still there. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise him today. Praise him today. If you need strength today, now's your time to get it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we become weary in well-doing, We need our strength renewed. As much as the word says, be not weary in well-doing. But sometimes we get weary in doing the right thing. Let your strength come. All the stuff happening in this world today, if you want to look outside the doors of the church, it's not surprising God, and he's not out of sorts over it all. We are. But he's not. And you may not believe that. You want him to be out of sorts. I want him to be for my side. You know, God, hear my prayer. Guy's a joke. Get him out. We just need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because that joke he might save. Then what are we going to do about it? It's not what I anticipated. Figured he'd be first to be kind of, you know. But again, he went to Calvary for everybody. And we just need strength. Amen. Praise God. One more time. I welcome anybody. I'm serious today. I know I've come here today. I don't know who I've helped. I hope I helped somebody. With the message of he's still mighty. See, some people get so discouraged in the work of God that they give up and they stop walking with God. What are you people thinking? Where are you going to go? I don't, you know. Oh. Some people won't come back to church here because pastor's dead. That's dumb. That's dumb. We've said it when they're here, when they actually popped in. We'll say it when they're not here. That's what? Well, you just don't know. No, I do understand it. We all get discouraged. People die. That's just the way things are. I'm not going to give up, walk with God over it. No, exactly. But some people use those, they use anything. No, now's the time not to quit, to give up. You're in the wrong frame of mind. He's still mighty. So I welcome whoever. If anyone wants to come and pray, let's do that as we close the service. Thank you for listening. I mean, we're still early in comparison. Pastor's live. We'd be going to 5:30. He'd just be getting started with all of you standing, right? And I say that with great respect. Because I know every one of us, we would want that back, like right now, if we could have him back. Pastor, preach till 6. We're just glad to see you. But you've got plenty of time to pray and call upon God. Living for God's worth it. Jesus, I'm asking you to help every soul here today. God, you know how to help. You know how to answer. I don't. But I'm praying that some way, unique to everyone standing here, that the message, he is still mighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we'll get through. Help them to grab one rope at a time and be the one standing champion. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bind up the brokenhearted today, oh God. Put them on that mule with water and wine and heal up those wounds. God, people are soaring in the wrong direction. Help them to mount up today with faith, with encouragement, with confidence, with excitement. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.